Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for April 24th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Asia. How you doing, Asia?
Hey, Taryn. So two things. First thing is happy birthday to my brother. He listens to all the Big Brother US coverage, even though, you know, he doesn't listen to Canada. Just want to shout him out today. Second thing, last time I was on an update, Kyle was still in the house.
Oh, boy.
Last time I was able to be on an update, Kyle was still in the house. Marty and Jess had just been nominated. And Kyle and Jace were talking about how they should have sent Betty home. And now,
why have you forsaken these updates, Asia?
I know. It feels like forever ago. It was like a month.
They were talking about Kyle. Yeah, and this morning they were talking about that. I mean, why wouldn't they? You know, <It's>, big topic of conversation for Kyle. We are here, of course, to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Canada 10 live feeds. It was day 57 in the house and, big day. I mean, we have some veto results that came in this morning. But even without that, there's quite some big happenings happening here on the Big Brother Canada 10 live feeds. The final five is not the time to rest. This season is going to continue to deliver. It does not want to slow down at any point. And so we are going to get into all of it here, Asia.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was going to be one of those days of just waiting around for veto. I was like, it's going to be okay. I'm going to do a little shopping. And then it was just like, boom. Oh, wow. There's a lot to catch up on. So I'm excited to talk about it.
Right in at the buzzer, they got some stuff in here. So it's day 57. Of course, Betty is the final five HOH. She nominated Jace and Josh for eviction. Jace as the intended target, Josh as the pawn, because he put her on the block in the triple. Now she makes sure to say that it was not a tit for tat. It was not retaliation. But it was because he put her on the block. Like,
right.
Like in the same way that she's like, I hate the word target. I don't want to use the word target, but I am targeting Jace.
She's like, yeah, it explaining exactly, like, you put me on the block, so naturally I have to put you on the block, but it's not tit for tat. It's like,
no.
What is, that tit for tat would be the definition of what you're doing. But hey, I think she just wants it out there. Like, hey, I said it wasn't this, Yeah, it was.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I get what she's saying. It's just like, it's a lot more difficult to describe why she put Josh on the block without just saying it's because he put her on the, like, she's trying to establish her own agency in the game. She's trying to be like, okay, he didn't care about my game. Like, if he's going to like risk my life in the game, I'm going to risk his life in the game. Like, it's a complicated set of things, but like, it's because he put her on the block. Like, that's the ultimate reason is that all of the other reasons came. And so with Jason Josh on the block, a few things happened. Kevin pitched to Betty that they make a final three with Helena. Kevin, Betty, and Helena. Betty pitched that final three to Helena. Helena was on board. And the plan came into place where Helena suggested to Betty that Betty tell Jace, you're not the person I want to evict. Not target.
Right.
Josh is the person I want to evict. I'm only putting you up as a pawn. If the veto is used, Kevin will go up on the block. That's the story being told to Jace. It's not true. It is potentially true that Kevin would go up as a replacement, but it's not true that Jace is not the target. Betty decides to go through with that plan, and she pretends to Jace that she is not the target. She's only putting her up as a pawn against Josh. So another thing that happened before day 57 is that, and we didn't see this conversation, it was at Wendy's, but we have reason to believe that Kevin told Betty that he had a final two with Josh as a way to help sink Josh a little bit in Betty's eyes in the event that potentially like the veto is won and used or whatever, right? He wants to make sure that Betty continues to want to evict Josh over the replacement, either him or Helena, which is the case right now. If the veto is used, Josh is the person that Betty would want to leave over the replacement. Now, I personally was like, oh, okay, Kevin, I don't know about that, but we'll see. Right. And it seemed like it had been working for a little bit here as Betty is, you know, pitching this final three with Helena and all of that. But that's kind of where we leave off, right? The veto is huge. The veto is very important. It's Jace and Josh on the block. If Jace wins the veto, then Kevin or Helena will go up and they're in a spot where Josh probably leaves, but they're in some danger. And now Jace is still here as a huge comp threat. If Josh wins the veto, one of them goes up. It's probably Jace that goes, but it's still, it's a big veto for Jace's game. It's a big veto for Josh's game. It's a big veto for all of their games. And they start the morning, Kevin, Helena, and Josh, like, it's a big veto today. We all need to be ready. We need to be locked in.
It's like Kevin is like their coach and he's like trying to hype them up. And he's like, this is the biggest game of the season. We've got to win this. Like, yeah, it comes down to this. This is make it or break it, which honestly, truly is. It's a very important veto.
Very much so. So Betty and Josh are going to talk again. They've talked pretty much once since Josh put her up in the triple eviction. That was day 56. We talked about that conversation. It was mostly Josh kind of like not really explaining himself super well and just letting Betty sort of vent to him about how hurt she feels, and allowing that to happen. So it's now been, there's a whole night has passed. They've slept on it. Betty has woken up. She's released some of that steam. She's feeling a little bit better. And they kind of continue the conversation. She says, you know, I guess I didn't realize how close you were to Kevin. Because remember Kevin's revealed to her that Josh had these final twos, which is part of why whenever Josh says like, no matter what has happened, I'm still with you. If I survive this week at the final four, she's like, Josh, stop. Mm-hmm. Like, I know you have other final twos. He's like, I don't. Right. But she knows. And so she's trying to start to, hint to him, like, I know about Kevin. I didn't realize how close you were to Kevin. And, you know, the more I've thought about it, the more I realized like this was the best thing for my game because I wasn't really playing the game in the right way. I was playing with my heart and now I know that I can't be doing that. So, you know, this is probably for the best.
And you can tell that Josh is sitting here like trying to figure out what do you know about Kevin? Because that's what I'll go on about. Because are you talking final three? Or are you saying like me and Kevin are close? Because if that's the case, we could talk about that. But I don't want to overexpose anything. So it was, I don't know. I think Betty definitely would have. They would have gotten to the place where they were at the end of the day earlier in the day if he had just started like admitting to things. But of course, he still wants to like hedge his bets and, you know, still be safe with the crash test dummies, but repair this personal relationship with Betty. I just thought this conversation was funny because, you know, reflecting on them wanting to be HOH so bad all season, talking about sleepovers in the HOH room. And then when they both get HOH, they're like at odds. And Betty already drank all the wine that they had planned to share. But hey, should have put on the block. You could have shared some of that wine too, Josh.
Yeah. he says again, he's not coming for her if he comes off the block. And she's like, Josh, like I get, like I know, I like I know I need to win the veto at Final Four. I know that's what I need to do. I don't need anybody to take me to the end. All right. She says, look, you are my friend. Okay. It is just a game in here, but I have connected with you on such a deep level. I want you standing next to me when I get married. I don't want anything to stand in the way of this. Like the game is one thing on a personal level. Like I still love you and I want us to continue to be friends. And they get a little emotional and Josh stands up and they give each other a hug. And so on a personal level, like they're feeling okay again. Yeah, Betty is still, Betty's still very much like it's, but it's time to get myself to the end and prove everyone wrong. And you know, I'm on my own in the game, basically.
Yeah. I love this for Betty. I'm loving how she's handling all of this. Like even when she was mad at Josh, like, of course the initial anger was there, but then she was like laughing, giggling about the fact that she's ignoring him. Like, oh, I'm such a savage. She's just like, she's taking everything for what it is. Yes, they are in a game, but she is just like, she's handling it as such. And it's been really interesting, all this like friend talk, because have we seen other casts focus so much on like, okay, once we leave here, I'm not their friend. I'm your friend and your friend. And it's like building these stronger relationships because like, I consider you an actual friend. So if you betray me, that'll be much more hurtful than just somebody else in the house.
It's interesting because, you know, Betty is Betty, right? Like Betty is very much like, Betty's going to tell Kevin later, like, I only really made three friends this season. but at the same time, Betty is also in a place where she's now like, but that means nothing in the game, which is awesome. We definitely see in other seasons, like this is less, like just blatantly stated, where it's like you are the real, like, I mean, you know, like watching Cody in 22, right? Like, Nicole, like I would never, we would never betray each other, you know? There's different ways of handling it, but this is basically where Betty is now. It's, it's business B time.
This is business B. Let's get it.
And, it's time to get it. And, nothing's going to get in the way. She says, I haven't made any deals. She's lying now.
Yes.
and she says, I've got one question. Did you put me up because Kevin convinced you to save Helena? And the thing about asking that question is that there's pretty much no premise where Josh says no, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, that thing you did that has caused a lot of pain and tension between us. Is there a reason you did that that's not your fault? Maybe a little bit?
Right.
Yes. Especially when it comes after, like, all of this stuff about them reconnecting. Like, oh, is this what's in your head that's made us... Oh, yeah, I'm not going to say no to this. Like, absolutely. He says, yeah, basically. Basically, that's what happened. So this has been in her head. And this is something, too, that, like, even yesterday when she was talking with herself... because Betty talks to herself a lot, which is awesome, but also at the same time, she doesn't speak very loudly to herself, and she's often like doing things while she's talking to herself, so it's very difficult to hear. So that's a little bit annoying, but at the same time, at least it's something. One of the things that she said when talking to herself the day before was, and it was so disjointed that I wasn't sure what it meant, was just like, oh, Kevin's so good. Like something along those lines, right? And it's clear that she's been kind of ruminating on ever since Kevin told her that Josh had a final two with him. She's been thinking about Kevin's game more critically and why Josh did what he did and the position that Kevin is in right now. And so she's asking about Kevin, and this is going to come back around a little bit later. So keep your mind on it.
Right.
Just a little bit.
Put a pin in that. Yeah. I love Betty's, like, cause usually people are talking out loud. It's kind of like they know they're talking to the feeds. And so it's just like, they're talking to themselves, but it's like for the benefit of us too. But Betty is like truly just talking to herself. So I love it because it's more authentic and it's like, you're getting raw business B. But then we're like, wait, what'd she say?
And the trick, okay, so this is the trick to reading, because I feel like some people have trouble understanding Betty when she's talking to herself. The trick to understanding Betty when talking to herself is that she's like not always doing like an inner monologue. Sometimes she's practicing what she's going to say to other people. So that can be very tricky, where like sometimes people will interpret what she's saying as like, oh, is that what she wants? But no, that's what she's going to say to another person. So that's part of the tricky part. She says, he asks her like, so am I the target? It's like, well, first of all, I hate that word.
No targets second, over here. It's so negative.
Yes. No, you're not my target. I don't really have a target. She starts off not really trusting him with the truth, which is that her target is Jace. Because she's pretending to Jace that Josh is the target. And she tells Josh, like, I am telling people that you're my target, but you're not really my target. I don't really have a target. And at first she's just trying to keep it vague, but then she's kind of like, whatever. And she tells him, basically I'm telling Jace that you're the target, but really Josh, really Jace is the target. That's kind of, look, I'm playing the game now. So Jace is still the target for sure.
Yeah. And what is, because I've, you know, especially with what we're going to discuss later in the day, what is Betty's main reason for needing Jace out at Final Five? Is it because of this three that she thinks she has locked in with Kevin and Helena?
So it's a combination of things that's kind of like stacked on top of each other. And it's, I think, the sort of thing where she hasn't really stopped to think and really consider the idea of not targeting Jace.
Yeah.
Right. Like targeting Jace has always just been the default ever since she found out that Jace was playing her and Josh the week that Gina was HOH. Mm-hmm. And so much energy has been focused on getting to the bottom of that, which ended in the disastrous conversation that happened on day 56 that we talked about yesterday, on the update. Which she goes on to talk about with Josh. She was like, you should have seen Jace when I talked to her. It's so clear they never wanted to work with us. That whole alliance was fake. You should have seen the second I brought up the secret veto, her whole body changed. She got tense. Like she was so lying. It just went very poorly for Jace. So like all of that stuff, like, oh, she's a liar. She's manipulative. And then, sort of like, that's the core of it. That's what started her against Jace, feeling like she could trust Kevin and Helena and, you know, whatever with Josh, but Jace was the one that she couldn't trust and Jace needed to go. And then to build around like extra protection over that core, Kevin has really been hardcore. Like, Jace is amazing. She's so good at competitions. She's the biggest threat to win this game. She wins unanimously. She's so clutch in pressure situations, like really laying it on thick, all of the reasons why, the extra reasons why Jace needs to go. And so even once, like, it's like, so Betty's not really able to sift through all of those extra reasons to get back to the core and realize, wait, who cares if Jace is lying to me at this point? Is it still the best decision for her to go? Who knows? Jace being a big competition threat is still something that she's concerned about. So, ultimately Jace is still the target. Now, if if Betty had the, if Betty wins the veto, you know, and she has the choice to maybe change her mind. And I've said this before, I think that's when maybe she starts to think more critically about it and maybe would consider doing something else. But for now, it's still locked in on Jace.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Yeah.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So, she asks him if he's ever thrown a competition. He says, no, I would never do that. Josh.
She right, says, second place king.
Yeah. She says she knows Jace is dangerous, has final twos with everyone. Again, she's been caught lying so many times. Josh also talks about, and I thought this was interesting because I think this is something that was genuine from Josh. He was talking about how like he feels like people connected with him personally and they were like telling him things personally that they didn't tell anybody else in the game and therefore thought that they were also close to him on a game level, even though they never really talk game. And he's speaking directly about Summer, but I think he's also kind of talking about Betty.
Right.
And he's also explaining, you know, why he's been so tight with Kevin. That, that like, you know, if we're not deeply talking game, then we don't have that kind of relationship because that's a part of Josh as well.
Yeah. I mean, and he has a point, but I think he also is missing the element of everybody's different, right? So the way he's looking at the game is, yeah, if we have a game relationship, that's very important. But if you take Betty and Summer, they're not the type of players who are, oh, if you have a game relationship, then that's fine and personal is separate. Like their social game is their game. So them having personal relationships is part of like, hey, then I'm loyal to you. Like Betty saying, hey, you're going to be in my wedding. That means I'm going to have your back through this game as well. So, but in Josh's head, he's like thinking about it strategically and in the game context, like, okay, well that's separate, but I can betray her in this game. And then that will maintain. I mean, and who's to say that doesn't, of course, you know, with the fact that they have started to make up throughout this day. But I think that was just one thing that he didn't consider. It was just like, oh, well, it makes sense to me and we'll be able to recover from this. But it's just like, no, everyone's very different.
Yeah. And what has happened is that Betty is saying, like, you've basically opened my eyes to the fact that, yeah, I'm just going to split those two. Yeah. I'm going to do the same thing, which comes at just the right time for Betty, right? Like final five heading into final four. Now she realizes, okay, hold on. I can just do what's best for me. I don't need to do what like my friendships and relationships feel like. I can just take the person I can beat to the, oh, okay.
I love seeing Betty blossom in this way because usually this is something that this type of player would see after the fact, once they're in jury, like, well, if I knew everybody was doing this, I would have tried to do this.
Yep.
So good thing she's still in the game.
So Betty talks to Kevin a little bit. She's wondering if he's ready for the veto. She wants to make sure he's not throwing it. He was like, that would be an immensely stupid thing to do. I would never throw the final five veto. She says she feels on a personal level, Josh and her are good now that they've kind of talked it out. Not game level, but personal. She says there are three people that I can call my friends in this house. Josh, Tanisha, and you, Kevin.
That's so sweet. B.
Yes, that's amazing. Oh my god. She says, but that won't impact game. Not anymore.
To be clear, I am a new woman after the triple eviction. I've learned things.
Yeah, and Kevin says, and I mean, speaking of Josh, because he's like interpreting, and she's trying to make it seem like she's talking specifically about Josh, but she's also talking about Kevin. And he's like, yeah, I mean, Josh is the perfect man, and he will beat anyone in the finals. And she says, oh, I know. And Kevin says, man, I love this new business B.
This is business B. Let's get it.
I love it.
I had almost forgotten about the I do hate you between her and Kevin.
I do hate you.
Oh, gold. Because of how far they've come.
Yeah, I also love this one.
You told me I was a terrible person.
Yeah, and I meant that.
Yeah. Like, where's the confusion?
Yeah. I don't know. Why are you you're saying that like I should be denying it or something? You're right.
Oh gosh, I love her. I continue to love her. But yeah, it just shows how far their relationship has come, which it's just like, I had been questioning it like, oh my goodness, has she completely forgotten kind of what she used to think about Kevin? But
yeah. Well, there's more on that later. Right. Kevin, Helena, and Josh are going to be talking for a bit about their crash test dummies. They're reminiscing a little, just kind of like celebrating how far they've gotten in the game. Helena wonders like what would have happened if Jess had stayed over Gino, and Kevin says, for a long time I thought that's where we had lost the game. And I was like, honestly, me too, Kevin. I thought the same.
Right.
But then Kevin and Helena talk without Josh, and they kind of have a moment together. Like Kevin is pumping her up as he does. You're the best player this season. You're amazing. And she goes, seriously though, Kev, you are the best player of the season. Like you have helped me through so much. And you have done so much in this game, and I really want to pull through in this veto, in this game, not just for me, but also for you, because like, I just care so much about us making it through here. She's getting emotional. She's like, kind of like, near tears, a little bit crying maybe. He says, look, I want you to know, Helena, there's no scenario where like I cut you because I think it's better for me. Like, oh, she'll be in the jury or like, whatever. She's absolutely same. I would never do that. Kevin says, I'm totally cold hearted in this game, but you've broken me. He said that to other people, but, she's still emotional. And she's like, there's just something about us that makes sense. You know, they talk about how much they have in common. They think they were meant to be working together in this game. They were probably cast to work together. They're going to be friends for life. It's a nice moment.
It really is. And I feel like, you know, we do get a lot of, like you said, he had said that piece before, but I feel like we get the most authentic Kevin when he's talking to Helena. And, you know, when they start talking about what they've thought about the game, and Kevin's just like, I didn't like the gossip part of it. Like, we've had to get into that. Like, people talked about people and we're there, like we're participating. You hardly ever see people kind of reflect on that in the house. When they just start getting into like the flack that people might get from, like social media or whatever. And then this is where friendship makes a reappearance, because Helena is saying like, I want to be friends with my real friends. Like, I'm not worried about friends in here. I just wonder where that started, where it where people feel, they feel like it needs to be said, but, like it's okay. We understand that some people be friends after this. Some people may not.
Yeah. And I agree. I think that Kevin is genuine. Like, I think it would maybe be different. Like, who knows? It's one of those situations where it's like, I think that Kevin thinks that his best chance of winning is being against Helena. Mm-hmm. And so I think that Kevin is completely 1,000% loyal to Helena and would never cut her. And on also would potentially like do things that would maybe not be optimal for his game in order to benefit Helena to get them both there. I'm pretty sure that he'd be very loyal to Helena if he thought he definitely lost to her, but I don't know that it would be the same.
Yeah.
Helena at the same time is like, I Helena's not in that position. I think Helena's not in that spot as much. It's kind of like the Derek and Cody thing where it's like, yeah, Derek was completely loyal to Cody and, like they're super best friends and buds and stuff. But like, if Derek knew that he lost to Cody, would it have been the same? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, right. I don't know. But I do think that Kevin is very loyal to Helena.
Yeah. I mean, definitely the way that Kevin has played this game, he's very intentional with who he wants to be there for a specific reason. So it's like, okay, it's not Helena out of the goodness of his heart because she's broken him and, you know, touched his heart in a way that no one else has. It's because he thinks that he can beat her. And so, but I've learned in Big Brother Canada 10 not to say anything definitively because I was literally watching the triple. I said, oh, there's no way Josh puts up Betty. Like, that's not happening. Like, I can't envision that happening. And then I was surprised. So, they, you know, I'm never going to count anything out, but I don't think there would be anything at this point that would allow Kevin to think that Helena would beat him because he's, you know, he's not getting any insight from the jury. He doesn't know what their perspective is, but it's, you know, unless the other three just start talking up Helena's game and, you know, he gets new perspective in that way.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting relationship because, and especially when it comes to the loyalty dynamic, because I think it's one of the more optimal ways of having a partnership like this, where, like I said, like, I think if Kevin knew that he couldn't beat Helena in the end, I don't know that he wouldn't be loyal to Helena because of that. I think that he would just be working harder to make sure that he figured out a way to beat Helena in the end. Which I think is also what Helena is trying to do with Kevin. And so it's not like, cause you so often get caught in these loops of like, well, this is my partner, but I definitely can't take them to the final two because they'll beat me. So I need to find the optimal time to cut them where it doesn't ruin my own game. When that's not really the optimal way of playing. The optimal way of playing is my partner definitely beats me in the final two. So how can I change that?
Right.
Right? Because getting to the final two, if you're super loyal and locked in, is way easier than figuring out when to cut and then somehow like not ruin your game because of it. That's what made Dan so good in 10 is that he was so good at just destroying Memphis's jury chances because he knew he was going to go to the end with him and he didn't have to not be loyal. It's one of the reasons why Derek was good. He was able to sort of upend, not like ruin Cody's chances as much as, you know, Dan did to Memphis, but like overshadow Cody in a way that it was like, I'm going to win. So I don't need to cut my partner. And so, like, so far, Kevin has done that pretty well. Not like super intentionally, but like, he's been the one out in front. He's been the one, you know, making the moves, calling the shots, very visibly to most people. Most people see Kevin as the sort of like the driver of the situation and Helena as kind of the supporting role. That seems to be the perspective right now, both in the jury and in the house. Like, that's great for Kevin. If I'm Helena, I'm not necessarily thinking, well, I guess I now need to cut Kevin and put myself in a spot where maybe I'm the next threat or like, you know, something goes wrong. But maybe what I can do is, you know, even the Josh, right? The BB19 Josh, where it's just like, start sabotaging him in goodbye messages. Mm-hmm. Start like trying to take credit for some of his moves. Like, change the jury's mind so that when you get there, Kevin's like, look at this, I think I won. And then all of a sudden they're like, Helena, you did it. And you're like, what? What?
He would be like, what? Yeah, it's, yeah, but I would say like once the jury finds out about this, the crash test dummies, it's going to be like everyone's envisioning Kevin has been driving the car all season. Helena has been in the passenger seat. Like she's giving some guidance on like Apple Maps where to go, but Kevin knows where he's going. It's just like the extra help of like, oh, 2 more miles. Like, okay, I know this exit, but like I'm helping out. And then Josh is just in the back seat, just like on his iPad, but he's going in the same direction as they are. Mm-hmm. That's what the jury's going to see. So I think it's going to be really hard to paint a different picture for Josh or Helena, because it's just like, wait, well, what did you do that wasn't Kevin's move?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's too, it's like, so like Kevin has taken more risks. Kevin has been, again, like out in front more, the one really like having a lot of focus on him. And so I think that like that currently puts him in the lead for the jury, but like a clever player can turn that completely around on him. And, and we see this argument all the time in the jury. It's often made for the person and they don't make it themselves, but the jury always in the round table says, well, what if they were using that person that was out in front at, like to do that while they were behind pulling the strings? So if Helena can get some of that out there early, to seed some of that, like, you know, whoever leaves this week, whatever, like if she can get somebody to go to jury with a certain message, if her goodbye messages can go in a certain way, if she can start winning competitions, these are all ways that she can sort of like overcome Kevin in the final two if they are, if they end up there. Because it seems like that both of them are dedicated to it at this point.
Yeah. So. They did say, has this changed, that they said that Marty didn't get goodbye messages, but did Summer?
I don't know. I know that, I don't know. I don't know if they got goodbye messages. I don't remember. Okay. I do know that Betty left, one for Gino that I don't know if Gino saw, because I don't remember. I feel like they always change the rules about like when they show goodbye messages, but, Betty left one for Gino that was like, you thought you could trick us. We know you were trying to backdoor Josh.
Oh gosh.
So
loud and wrong.
Which honestly that could be a huge credit for Helena, because if Summer's in the jury and Gino's like, what are they talking about? Summer's going to be like, oh, Helena told us that you were backdooring Josh. That's a complete lie. How did Helena trick you into thinking this? Right. Like, so, I would not count Helena out in the final two is what I'm saying. So, that's happening there. Then we have the final conversation of the day, because there's not much. The feeds go down for the veto after this conversation, and they're down all night. They came back up this morning. Betty's talking to Josh, and she's been thinking about Kevin having a final two with Josh. She's been thinking about Kevin throughout the game, and she's come to a conclusion, which is that
I do hate you.
No, she doesn't hate him, but in the game, he's the mastermind. Like he's been playing us all season long. So she is going to tell Josh, look, I think Kevin's been playing us. I think Kevin's the guy. He was in here telling me that, that he wanted you gone. He's been throwing you under the bus, Josh. And Josh is like, she's like, no, seriously. He wants you gone. And he's been trying to drive a wedge between us. He's been trying to like not let us repair our relationship. And Josh is like, what about Helena? What is Helena doing? And she's like, oh, Helena's actually trying to repair the relationship. He's like, wow, I'm reevaluating everything right now. She says, I'm watching everything he does. And it's, I'm on to you. You think you can play me, Kevin? Josh is like, it's sick. He really said that to you? And she's like, yeah, he said that, you know, that, do you have a final two? He's like, no, I don't have a final two with him, but we've said we were each other's number ones. And she's like, yeah, he definitely wants you to go over Jace. We didn't see the Wendy's conversation. I feel like I'm a little bit in Josh's position, because Josh, so in order to really fully understand, I think, where Josh is here, Josh is in disbelief, right? She's telling him that Kevin wants him out. She's revealing all of the things that Kevin said about Josh. Like, hey, Josh is going to beat us all in the end. You know, Josh kept me because I had a final two with him. I bet he has final twos with everybody. And now, like, this is, Josh is now finally finding out that Kevin's the reason why, that Betty's been, like, completely not believing everything he's been saying about, like, I will protect you next week, Betty. And she's topping it all off with, and Kevin wants you to be evicted this week. We know that Kevin doesn't want Josh to be evicted this week, or at least that's not, like, fully set. I can only assume that Betty is either playing the game here, or misinterpreted, like, assumed that because Kevin was kind of throwing Josh into the bus, that Kevin might actually want Josh out over Jace. I don't know for sure at this point because we didn't see the conversation, but she's really pushing it hard, and Josh is just like, why would Kevin want me out? That doesn't really make any sense, because he knows that he does kind of have a final two with Kevin, and that he's been working very closely with Kevin, to the point where Josh is just like trying to come up with any conceivable reason for why Kevin would be doing this. He's like, what if, do you think he told you this so that we would come to this conclusion? Right. And she's like, what? He's like, well, cause he's so high level. What if he wants us to be thinking this right now? And she's like, I don't really understand that. He's like, I don't either. I'm just trying to make sense of this because it doesn't make any sense to Josh.
Yeah. What I was so confused about, I guess, because I hadn't even thought about the Betty side of it, of how she could be just playing the game right now. But Josh's side, I was like, is he acting or is this genuine disbelief? Like, at first I thought, oh, he's playing along, like, shocked face. Oh, I had no idea that. You don't think me and Kevin are, you know, as tight as we are and that he would want me out. But then when he started to just continue to reference other things that Kevin has said, like, oh, he got his job confused and he's probably a teacher because his wife is a teacher and teachers marry teachers, which, hey, I think there is something to that. Like, both of my parents are educators. But, you know, I think that I was so on the fence about if this was genuine from Josh, but I think it was, like, I think he would have given as many examples.
I think the thing that, cause I think maybe at first it wasn't right. But I think the thing that sells it for Josh is when Betty keeps telling Josh about the ways that Kevin has thrown Josh under the bus,
right?
That Kevin has not given Josh a heads up about. And as the more she's telling him things that Kevin has said, the more he's like, wait, is this real? Like, why would Kevin do that? And he's trying to come up with reasons for why Kevin, because Betty has never been the kind of player to make things up, you know, like, yeah. Betty's not that player. She now could be, but Josh doesn't see her as the person that would be making this up. And so he's kind of just like, wait, ooh. What is happening with that? Why is he doing this?
You have caught me off guard.
He's like, wow, I'm trying to make sense. I see it now that, like, if Kevin's in the end, I mean, he'll get every single jury vote. I mean, he's played so well. And like next week, he is so covered. I mean, if Helena wins HOH, like, that's his sidekick. Which is a right, like, that's the perspective right now. His little sidekick. She says, Betty says, well, we just need Jace to see it, you know, if she wins the veto. Throughout all of this, there's still Jace needs to go. Jace still needs to, and that's like the saving grace here for Kevin, which is that, like, that extra bit on top of the core again is still obfuscating that, like, now that this has been revealed, maybe there's a different way that they could go. No, Jace still needs to go. She's still the biggest threat. But if she wins the veto, we need her to see that Kevin needs to go over you. Because as we've also said, Jace currently would prefer for Josh to go over Kevin, which would mean even if Kevin went up on the block, if Jace won the veto, Jace and Helena would vote Josh out. Which was Jace's plan, right? If she won the veto when she was off the block, she would use it on Helena to convince her to vote out Josh. She would want Josh out because Josh is the bigger threat. So, uh, So that's kind of like the new plan is, right. Jace still needs to go, but if Jace wins the veto, Kevin's got to go, not Josh.
Yeah. And it was so odd because it was just like, they're making all these revelations and then saying, okay, Jace needs to go and we have to get Kevin out in final four. And we can do that as long as, oh, he might win HOH or, oh, he might win veto. It's just like, okay, well, if you could do something about it now before putting yourself in that position, then you should do it. Like, it's not a given that JC Lynn has to go this week. But it's just, we still have more days. We still need to find out who won the veto, but I think there's still time, especially because I didn't expect Betty to come to this conclusion about Kevin so early in the week. I think we still have time for her to continue to think and maybe weigh more options.
Mm-hmm. So Josh does say to Betty, which I thought was interesting. He says, like, when you run the tapes, you'll see who I've always said I'm taking to the final two. Which I feel like that was a lie, right? We've seen the diary rooms. We've seen, where is it? I always have this one way too nested in here.
My loyalty definitely lies with the crash test dummies.
Right? So I don't know. But, he says that she says, I've never trusted Kevin. You know, from the beginning, I knew it.
I do hate you.
I should have trusted that gut. I forgot about it. Because Summer trusted him so much and all these people trust him. And he used my emotions against me and I lost it, but I knew it.
Right. Oh, Josh was like, yeah, the first week. I said, we got to get that guy out of here.
Yeah.
I was like, did he though? I can't remember.
It still boggles my mind that they evicted Melina over Kevin in the first week. But hey, that's the price for the next Kevin archetype to pay.
Exactly. And he knows it.
Yeah. She says, okay, if Jace can go home this week, that would be perfect. Then they go for Kevin. So for me, what cost Kevin here is that reveal of the final two with Josh. The second Kevin reveals that he had a final two with Josh, that is the key that unlocks the rest of his game. That is what has kept Kevin's game under the radar this whole time. It's what it allowed him to rise to power in the first place. And by giving Betty that key, she was able to open the door and go, wait a minute, what is in here? and I think that a potentially fatal mistake for Kevin here to reveal that information. But yeah, at the same time, this only further enhances his jury prospects if he's able to make it there. So, for a long time, we were like, can Kevin even win a jury vote? Because nobody really knows what he's doing. Now people know what he's doing. This is like a, Nicole realizing Derek is the Dan of the season moment, right? Like they were very impressed. Even though they were like, screw this guy for playing us. They were also like, he's so good though. Because they both still like him personally.
Right. I think the problem here was like the reason he felt comfortable saying that he was Josh's number one guy to Betty. Like he totally wanted to do it because he wanted to continue to kind of drive the point home that she needs to put up Josh and kind of play into that anger she was already feeling from the triple. But he underestimated Business B's ability that now that she's in the game, she's thinking about the game. So it's just like, she's not going to take, day 20 Business B is not going to weigh these options. She's probably going to talk to Summer about it. Like, I can't believe Josh, I can't believe Josh would prioritize Kevin. We definitely have to get Josh out. But today she's thinking, oh, this helps paint a better picture of Kevin's game. Like I had the stencil out, but there was this missing piece on the right that I just couldn't figure out. And Kevin just gave it to her on a silver platter. And now she sees it clearly, but it's like, is it too late? Is it not too late to do anything about it?
Yeah. And that's the thing. Cause like, I criticized the move, but at the same time, I also saw how much of a struggle it was for Betty to maintain the decision to put Josh on the block. And if she didn't have that extra piece of information blocking her from allowing like Josh to reconcile with her, because that was like the defining thing that she was like, Josh, stop trying to talk game with me because I know that you're still lying to me. And even after that, she was like, can I still do it? No, I have to do it. And so getting Josh on the block in the first place was still a pretty tricky proposition. He did manage it with this. I think, you know, ideally you want to do it in a way that doesn't expose you quite as much. So we will see, but that's when the feeds go down, pretty much. Nothing major happens after that. Feeds go down for the veto, and things are looking extra spicy for the veto now, as there are a lot of different potential outcomes. And of course, we get a tweet immediately. Feeds will be down until the morning, which they were. So,
and thank you so much, Big Brother Canada, for telling us that. Like, it just, it helps. It lets us know we can kick our feet up, relax, maybe watch some Netflix shows we've been neglecting. But just thank you so much for informing us, so we don't just have to wonder, like, what's going on? Like, it's just the little things, but we appreciate that so much.
Can I just say, though, I hate when we find out who won a competition in the morning, because even competitions that I don't really, even when it's like an HOH and I'm like, I don't really care who wins, because no matter what happens, it'll go in all kinds of fun ways. Mm-hmm. What happens is that I wake up early in the morning, and normally I'm just like in dreamland, I'll fall back asleep. But when I'm wondering like, oh, I wonder who won that competition, it immediately gets my brain into like work mode, and now I can't sleep again. It's very annoying, Big Brother. I want to know who won the night of.
Yeah, it probably was like really late. Who knows at this point? I mean, we'll find out, I guess, more today. But the fact that like even when the feeds came up, they were still asleep. It's like, wait, well, does anybody have it around their neck?
I bet all I would need to know to find out is just take one glance at my phone. Just one glance at my phone. So I need, no, don't look at your phone. Go back to sleep. It's right there. It's sitting right there. You just need to open it up. It's like, no. And then you do, and it's like, feeds haven't come back yet. They're like, damn it.
Right.
It's too late now.
Right.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, so we can talk a little bit here about day 58, because the feeds did come back. They came back to some sleeping house guests, and they were, it's pretty funny because like they were all like, the feed was just on like Helena and Josh sleeping for a while. Jace comes in to like change some batteries. And then like Helena gets up, she's getting ready, for the day. And it's very quiet. We're just like, well, when are we going to hear some talk? And then it flips to Kevin in the kitchen, like making some eggs, doing some things, putting the thing in the pan. like, oh boy.
Like, he doesn't seem sad.
Yeah. Kevin walks up the stairs and Helena's in the bathroom, and I'm like, go to the bathroom, Kevin. Do it. Do it. He slowly walks and like, here we go. Here we go. He gets into the bathroom. He says, Helena, you're my hero. You did it. She won the veto. Helena won the final five veto. And just like that, Josh and Jace should be locked up on the block. Boom. There it is.
Should be.
I mean, they discuss it. They discuss it immediately, and they're like, yeah, we're not going to use the veto. So
I felt
Alina, regular Schmeidler. Me, Alina, regular Schmeidler, basic men. Ah, I did this. I hold something so special.
I wonder if she is. Well, yeah, she has to be this excited this time. This means there's no chance she's going up. But it's funny that Kevin kind of immediately plays into like the, oh, you like, you know, in case you do use it and I end up on the block. Like kind of just like, if we put it out
she's
there.
She's like, Kevin, then, no, right? Not going to do that.
If you just put it out there, then it can't happen. Mm-hmm. Or I guess it reduces the possibility of happening because it doesn't. She doesn't have to stew and just be like, well, what if I do this? And we're like, oh, no, me and Kevin already discussed it. No.
Yeah, maybe. They say they'll have 4 days to think about what they want to do. Now, the feeds were down for a long time. So what that means is that there was some stuff we missed. Obviously, that conversation with Betty and Josh, it happened before the feeds went down. So what has happened since? What has transpired since, right? Has Josh talked to Kevin and Helena about the conversation with Betty? We believe that answer to be no. They beg Helena and Kevin kind of maybe a little bit caught on. So Kevin says he's worried that Josh and Betty have reconciled. Helena says, well, Josh told me that they haven't. And Kevin says, I think he's lying. Kevin says, we were celebrating about the veto results when Jace came by and Betty was there. And this was him and Betty. They were celebrating, I guess. And Betty was like, oh my God, Jace just saw us celebrating. And Kevin was like, I don't think she did. I don't think she saw us. I don't think it's anything to be concerned about. But Betty was like, no, I think she did. Oh, now she definitely has to go. And Kevin was like, that stood out as weird to me. Like she was trying to find a reason to like lock it in and make sure that Jace left. Whereas before she didn't care as much, you know, like she wanted Jace gone, but like now all of a sudden she's like, oh, now Jace needs to go because she definitely just caught us celebrating, even though she probably didn't. He's like that. There's something wrong there. So they really have to start to think about like, okay, if Josh and Betty have reconciled and they're lying to us about it, should we take out Josh over Jace?
Right. It's a hard line to walk because from Kevin and Helena's perspective, if Josh and Betty have made up, then they're going into Final Four 2v2 when they really wanted it to be 3v1. And because, you know, not everybody's Marty. Not everybody's going to betray the same person multiple times. Just keep doing it and keep doing it. So, you know, like Josh, everything that Josh and Betty went through, I could see Kevin thinking Josh does not want to have to do that again. He did it once. It was too much. It took a toll on him for like 24 hours. And now that they've made up, he doesn't want to have to go through that again. Now they are talking game. Now they're in a better place. They have a stronger game relationship, even though they want to say that their game relationship is done for. I could see the concern from Kevin and Helena, but you get out Josh, you still are 2v2. At least Josh is madly in love with Kevin. And so there's something there. There's something for him to tug on. You're not walking into Final Four with JC Land aligned with you two against Betty.
Mm-hmm. Well, they go over some arguments back and forth, right? Jace is probably the better competitor, and that's big. She's good in clutch situations. But, you know, she did just lose two in a row. They talk about like, oh, well, if we send Josh to jury, like at least he can advocate for our games, right? Like that could be good for us both, to a degree. That's something to think about. Then, you know, with Jace, she's got this whole like wants a woman to win thing, which could be bad for me, could also be good for me, says Kevin, because it could mean that she wants to bring a woman to the final two, but it also could mean she's just trying to butter up the jury so that when she takes a man to the final two, AKA me, she wins against the man. Which in my eyes, was Kevin's subtle way of saying, don't think that that is a guaranteed slot for you, Helena.
Right.
But so they're kind of going back and forth here about, should they keep Josh? Should they keep Jace? The conclusion that they come to is, we've got 4 days. Mm-hmm. Let's just take the 4 days to really think this through. If they do evict Josh, it will have to be a blindside, because they don't want Josh to blow anything up. So, that is where they kind of leave that.
And that's actually a wonderful decision, because you clearly see how Josh acts when he's flustered. He can't utter a sentence. So he's not going to, if he is evicted, he's not going to be like, the crash test dummies, we were doing these things. So I think that would be a wise decision to throw him off. But I'm just loving that we're in final five and we still don't know what the end game looks like. Like, this is wonderful.
It's wild to me, you know, because that conversation between Josh and Betty, I was like, wow, this could be the end of Kevin's game. Potentially, this could be Kevin's doom. And now I'm like, oh, this could be the end of Josh's game.
Yeah.
This could be Josh's doom.
Exactly.
Because Kevin is seeing through Josh right now. And Josh still hasn't told Kevin, at least we assume, about the conversation. I think Josh needs to tell Kevin about the conversation. I don't think that Josh is going to be able to hide the conversation. You know, like, mm-hmm. even if Josh believes it fully, I think he needs to just be honest. And then, if he's honest about the conversation and then says, like, but don't worry, I'm still with you, Kev, or whatever, I think that's going to play better than just trying to pretend like he's still cool and everything's the same, when clearly it's like he's not. They haven't been able to. I mean, he literally caught on like 12 hours later.
Yeah.
So I think Josh needs to come clean for his own sake at this point, and say that, like, no matter what, like, essentially the argument would be, this is how Betty feels. Don't worry, I'm still with you. But this means that obviously Betty is going to team up against you with Jace if I go. Betty is anti you 1,000%. So you pitch it as essentially like, not that, like, cause I don't even see Josh pitching this, cause that's just not right. Josh's game, but like, but at least present the scenario where it's like, if I stay, it's still the crash test dummies versus, Betty. Whereas if Jace stays, it's 2v2. And you present that scenario by giving Kevin everything. And there's a chance he stays even if he doesn't do that, but he's definitely not giving Kevin as much incentive to keep him around as he had before by trying to hide the fact that he's reconciled with Betty, when Betty herself has already told Kevin that, like, hey, we're cool on a personal level. Like, it's
it's going to be, I think it would be difficult for one, that not being Josh's game, to just go to Kevin and admit everything. But I think that he's also feeling a little bit betrayed because Kevin didn't just come forward and say that. So he's like, mm-hmm. well, I need to protect myself a little bit and not tell him everything, because I have been telling him everything. And look where that's gotten me, him possibly wanting me out. He's confused. So I don't even think by Thursday would be enough time for Josh to realize, okay, let me take a step back. If I do tell him, that would help me because he would think I'm more loyal. So,
He might need to pull a Dane, you know, mm-hmm. like whip out the study board, like whip out everything you've got and just be like, I'm laying everything on the line for you, Kev. I am with you. Because I do think that Kevin makes this call, one way or another. And I think that, I'm assuming again that Helena has some level of, obviously influence. And I think that Kevin, if Helena was like, I really want to go this way, and Kevin didn't feel strongly enough to say no, I think he would do it. Mm-hmm. But if Kevin felt very strongly about it, then I think Josh would stay. I think the decision ultimately comes down to Kevin, but Helena has a lot of influence over Kevin. Yeah. And I think that Helena is probably leaning in the direction of keeping Jace just a little bit, but hasn't really wanted to say that and hasn't expressed it, but she's definitely entertained the idea. And so now with Kevin kind of being like, well, if Josh is back with Betty, maybe that is something to consider. It could definitely go that way. So, what should they do at this point? Betty and Josh are probably going to, especially if Josh never talks to Kevin about this, like, they probably are going to team up at this point. And that is something to consider. And Josh is a big competition threat. And even though the jury is mad at Josh right now, he definitely still could win. Jace has some jury momentum as well, but that's mostly just because they see her as an underdog. And
yeah,
she lost these competitions. If she stays, not due to her own work, but because of, you know, Kevin and Helena taking a shot at Josh and Betty, and they make that clear to the jury, then I don't know that she gets the same sort of like underdog story by getting to the end, unless she then wins the final four and final three, which could happen because she's good at comps, but so could Josh. So it's a tricky call either way. And, you know, for Helena, I was saying before, I think that like keeping Jace around is probably the better bet, but you do have to consider that, again, the way that Josh described Helena to Betty, she's his little sidekick. Mm-hmm. Josh going to the jury, it like telling them this whole like Kevin is a mastermind, he's orchestrated the whole season, and Helena's his little sidekick. That's actually going to be real bad for Helena. So now, granted, what I said before is that like a key to this is that if she sends Josh home, she needs to make sure that that perception has changed by the time he gets to the jury house, because she is screwed if he goes to the jury house with that story. She needs to be on him both before he leaves and in that goodbye message. She needs to do everything in her power to convince him that not only is she not the little sidekick, but that she's been a driving force the whole season. But also, I think take credit for Josh leaving. Say, mm-hmm. I knew it was better for Kevin if you stayed, but I needed you gone because you were going to pick Kevin over me. That's, I think, the key element to Josh going to the jury house. Why did Kevin cut you if you were working so close to him? Well, because Helena knew that I would take Kevin. Oh, wow. So Helena's really playing for herself here. Like, I think that's the key element here and why I think it still could make a lot of sense for her to cut Josh. But Jace is still a big threat. Like, it is a tough call either way. I think that, I don't think it's a decision that can be made right now. There are 4 days where things could change. And mm-hmm. I think it's a close enough call for both of them that you take those 4 days, have as many conversations as possible, see where things naturally start to progress and then figure out like as close to the decision as possible where you feel like the best way to go is.
Yeah. I mean, yes, they have 4 days for that decision, but is there a world where one day is enough for Betty to figure out a case for Helena to use the veto?
So, that's a good point, because Betty is also going to be talking to herself, in the morning here. And, Betty says to herself, she still wants Jace out. Jace is still the person she wants out. She's going to pitch to Helena like, hey, I don't want the veto to be used because I still want Josh and Jace on the block, because she knows that Kevin is working with Helena and she doesn't want to like, she's not going to pitch against Kevin for this week to Helena with the veto, or at least that's not the intention. It certainly could happen because she does plan to pitch to Helena against Kevin for the final four. So Betty's plan is, veto doesn't get used, they send home Jace, which they might end up sending home Josh. Right. But assuming they send home Jace, then they get to a final four of herself, Josh, Helena, and Kevin. Now, you would think, okay, it's Kevin and Helena versus Josh and Betty at that point. But remember, this is Business B, not Betty.
This is Business B.
Business B no longer wants to go to the final two with Josh. When Kevin tells her Josh is the perfect man, he wins in the end, she agrees. And so she plans to, at the final four, pitch to Helena, I know I can't beat Josh, and you need to know that you can't beat Kevin. And she's going to give Helena the whole Kevin is a mastermind pitch, saying he beats us both in the end. He wins by a landslide. It needs to be us. We need to take out the guys here at the final four. And then evict Josh and Kevin in whatever order. Probably ideally Kevin first, for Betty, but either way works, I would imagine, and go to the end with Helena. That's Betty's plan right now. So currently no intention to flip anything, get Kevin out. She still wants Jace out this week. Now, if she decides to pitch this to Helena prior to the final four, AKA like prior even to the veto being used, mm-hmm. maybe this is a pitch that could evolve into, maybe we could just take out Kevin right now. But I wouldn't say that the odds are super high at this point that that it would even get there. Not to mention the fact that I very much doubt that that Helena would bite on it.
Right. Like, you would need a Kevin on Betty's side to be able to work out a specific way that Helena using the veto would benefit Helena by getting Kevin up. But I don't think that there's a, I don't think there's enough time before that, the, you know, the veto ceremony. So,
yeah. And I don't think it's, I really don't think it's something that Helena would even consider at this point. I think that, nor do I think it would even really be good for her game. Again, I think the better call for Helena is to start working the jury in a different way. And make sure that she can beat Kevin in the end, because Kevin is a, just a guaranteed, he's taking Helena to the final too. And other people are not quite as guaranteed, because yes, there are people like Jace and Betty who are now thinking, maybe I want to go to the end with Helena, but not out of anything other than they think they can beat her. And if Betty cuts Kevin, takes that shot, how does that change the perception of her in the game? Does everyone now also still think that they can beat her in the end? Or like, how does Kevin react? Like, I don't think Kevin like completely blows up her spot, but he's definitely not going to be super pleased about it. I think he would still pitch for her on the jury, but like, he's going to be campaigning to stay. Like, he's not just going to lie down and die. What comes out in his campaign? He's not going to, you know, have too many qualms about damaging her game a little bit if that's what he needs to do to stay. So what does that do? Does that then paint Helena as a bigger threat to win in the end? Does that mean that Betty thinks, maybe I don't want to take Helena to the end? She's this colossal player. She played with Kevin. Kevin was the mastermind. And then Helena took Kevin out. Now she's the mastermind. Does she get to the end anymore? Right. So there's a lot of unknown variables in there where I feel like it's a lot easier and simpler to just like shoot some goodbye messages that paint you as the mastermind. You know what I mean? And then on top of that, of course, there's the loyalty factor. And I think she's very loyal. And I think that she would really like, you know, there's that notion of just like, you know, it's one thing to, you know, betray your, you know, your partner and then win. It's another thing to then like, she cuts Kevin at final five and then she goes at final four. Now they're both like idiots. Right.
Yeah.
So,
hey, here's some fan fiction for you. Helena is this evil genius. And today, like day 58, Kevin is going so hard. We have to get Josh out. This week, we're voting Josh out. And she's like, look, I don't want Josh. We have to get Jace out. We have to get Jace out. She's like, no, I want Josh out. So maybe I use the veto. So therefore, you don't even have a vote. And then we vote Josh out because that's the only way I can get Josh out. But then, you know, she has some days to consider and then something else happens. But we know that's not going to happen. Just some.
Yeah. I think that the flaw there is that she can't control Jace's vote. And, if Jace votes Kevin and then Betty and Josh have reconciled, which they have, then Betty breaks the tie to evict Kevin. Right. So,
wow. Yeah. Taryn, you even find the holes in fan fiction.
Oh boy. Well, it's such a fascinating like spot we're in here at the final five. It's so interesting. I can't believe how much this season has continued to deliver. I was so pumped when Betty was like, Kevin's the best. I was like, oh my God, you got it. Business B. Like to come in the fourth quarter here with to just like, completely, you know, discover what Kevin's doing. Some great stuff here. If Jace leaves, we've got a fantastic final four. If Jace stays, we've still got a very good, and interesting sort of like, you know, situation going on with Jace in there. And that could definitely impact things, in interesting ways as well. So, what a final five, what a season.
Yes. Only other thing that I wanted to point out from yesterday was the conversation with Betty and Kevin, where they were talking about diversity in the house. Mm. And Betty said she'll never forget the feeling of walking in and seeing 9 people of color out of 16. And I just thought that that was just like awesome, because like representation matters, like even beyond like, okay, we want to create a visual representation for Canada to see. No, it also matters to people in the house because then they feel like, oh my gosh, okay, I'm in a situation where it like we're on an equal playing field. I don't have to feel like I have to, you know, struggle to find people with similarities to me. And so I just loved her saying this on the feeds because it just like opens up that perspective for people to realize that like this truly does matter.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think she said something like she walked in and she saw all the people of color and she was like, oh, I can do this.
Yeah.
It's such a big thing. So here we are. Day 57 was yesterday, day 58 today. Less than 2 weeks remain in the game. Probably less than a week remain of the live feeds. They probably go down on Saturday or Sunday. So not many more of these left here, but that's what we've got for you today. I will, of course, be back tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 10 live feeds. There's plenty more to, I mean, this is an over an hour update on day 57 at the final five.
Wild.
On a day that was pre-veto? Right. That's the worst time for game talk. And there's still tons of stuff to be done.
Yes, they did it.
All right. So I'll be back tomorrow to update you on the nonsense that happens today. I will also, of course, be live today on Twitch playing some Goose Goose Duck. I'll also be live on Twitch watching the episode tomorrow night. Should be an interesting one as we go through the drama from the triple. We'll be back here to recap the episode here on Rob Has a What podcast. And then we're just going to keep moving. Roundtable on Tuesday, episode on Wednesday and Thursday. Great stuff. Find me over on Twitter as well, at Armstrong Taryn. Check out the Taryn Show. Asia, what do you got going on?
Yeah, so I also will be playing some Goose Goose Duck today, and I also will be streaming. So check me out on twitch.tv/AsiaLikeAsia, A-Y-S-H-A like A-S-I-A. This is only my second time streaming, but the first time was so much fun. So I'm excited to play some Goose Goose Duck. Y'all can also find me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia. I have been podcasting about Married at First Sight with my awesome co-host, Jason Reed. We had Mari Forth on with us this week. It was a really great time talking about episode 15 of season 14. Go subscribe to the Love at First Sight feed because you'll also find my coverage of The Ultimatum with Mary Kukowski. We had a great time there. And then also our Love is Blind coverage is there as well. I think that's it.
All right. Yes, Kevin indirectly referenced our Among Us / Goose Goose Duck stream this morning, talking about how he knew about Kyle ahead of time because of all the stuff, and that Kyle played some online games in the community as well.
That's us. We're the online games.
Yeah. All right. Thank you all so much for joining us here today, and I will see all of you next time.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.